Good to see you. Boy, I tell you, this was a revival meeting here. This was a revival. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I welcome you all. And I have one of you young ladies back there. I only have 10 copies left of the handout from last week to those that weren't here last week. Would you raise your hand? And this young lady will give you a I only have 10, though. So that's it. Sorry. I hope the rest of you were able to bring it, but this is the outline we're kind of going through. And for those of you that weren't here last week, you'll just have to catch up. That's all I can say. It's hard to do. But we're doing the subject, walking with God through suffering and pain. And as we prayed, it's very appropriate. It's a big thing in our life. It's huge. It's huge. Who of you... If I was able to get, I told you the reference book I use almost more than anything else in my life is not this one. I have two of these. Mine's worn out. It looks like shredded wheat, but I like it. So I don't want to get rid of the shredded wheat one. But which one of you, if any, if I could get you this book for $40, you'd like me to buy it for you? If you wanted it. 40?
I have it.
Yeah. Anybody? Huh? $40? Okay, guess what? You're going to get this for free today.
Whoa, awesome.
See, you guys, you didn't raise your hand. Isn't that good? And when you're studying the scriptures, isn't it a great little reference? That guy is just outstanding in the Hebrew and Greek text. It's really good. This week, Pam was in Colorado on a missions event, I'll tell you in a minute. And I had I have six grandchildren, 12 down to 3 years old. And they live 5 miles from me, two families, you know. So they live at my house. I mean, you know, Pam hates me when I say that. I actually live for these kids. Lord Jesus, you are number one. But I live for these kids. You know what I mean? So they're over at my house and we had a ball. And I mean, it was just really a great week. But anyway, I pulled out my handkerchief, which nobody uses anymore. I blew my nose, you know, they're there in the car. I blew my nose and I put it back in my pocket. And my 12-year-olds, they all said, "Papa, that is so gross. Why do you do that?" I said, "Well, it's a handkerchief." How many of you have a handkerchief this morning? I thought that was so funny. And then the more I thought about it, boy, that is gross. That is really gross. Pam was in Colorado, I think 13 young people. RJ was there. Tammy here?
Yep.
Nicole?
Yep.
It was a phenomenal week.
Yep.
She's gone 10 years in a row. It was how to witness for Jesus Christ. Assault evangelism, Dave, just what you're doing. Going out into the marketplace. Some of the girls were crying they were treated so poorly. We all know about that, you know. I witnessed to a guy this week, and as I told him about Jesus Christ, he says, "Oh, I love hell. I love Satan. I think he's a great guy." I mean, he just absolutely in my faith. And I don't do this very often, but I turned to him graciously but firmly, and I said, "Sir, you will live to regret what you just said. You can laugh all you want, buddy, but I don't often do this." But he was kind of a smart aleck, so I thought, I'm going to put him in his place. I never heard another word. But they were out there. They had a great time. It was fantastic. They were witnessing. They did a prayer walk around that Columbine situation. It could not have been a better week. Okay? And let me see. Oh, yeah. Is Rob's mom here? Rob Thiel? She was sitting here last week. He went. He's one of the leaders. Pam says he does just a terrific job. He's a nurse. He's 40-year-old-ish. Kids and all that, but boy, does he have a heart for these kids. So they could not have had a better week. Tammy, would you agree?
Yes.
Sounds good?
For sure.
Sue? Yeah. Yes. Sounded good. And Pam said the preacher who runs this, she said it's the best preaching I've heard in 10 years. She said this was the best one. Just absolutely was fantastic. And it was wonderful. And he reminded them of so many ways that we tell the world that we're saved and that they need Christ, okay? And it reminded me of a story I was with Franklin Graham in September at a prayer march in Washington, D.C., the same day that the Justice Barrett became a justice. We stood there and watched it on TV, 300 feet from where she was. But anyway, on Sunday, we went to Mark Dever's church. It was closed. The corrupt mayor had all the churches closed, okay? So we said, hey, maybe they're having church down in the mall, you know, the mall, the middle. Let's go down there. Nope, they were breaking down all this huge stage because the night before we had 65,000 people. The night before the Franklin Graham March, we had 65,000 people at a revival meeting there, and it was out of this world. The day that we did the prayer march, we thought there would be 4,500, okay? We had 165,000, as far as the eye could see. I stood at the Lincoln Memorial, and as far as the eye could see, I saw Christians, and we were very well behaved. But I want to mention this. The man that owns this huge track and all the equipment, you know, it's a major project. He does this for a living. He has hundreds of employees. He's a Christian, and we met him, my buddy Steve and I. We got talking with him. He said, I want to tell you something. Generally, when I do these things for Bon Jovi and all these other people, generally when I do these things, I think I'm close. It takes us all night, 11 hours, with 120 people cleaning up the garbage. You ready? He said, last night I had 9 to clean up all your garbage. There wasn't one stitch of paper laying on the grounds when you people left. Isn't that an amen?
Amen.
What a testimony.
Yeah.
And as we walked up by the White House, we told that story to the Secret Service that were there. And a black, real sharp looking guy, he says, yeah, he says, when BLM comes through here, we got trash up to our knees. He says, just awful. So I thought, there's a testimony there. Can you imagine the testimony? Not a stitch of paper, he said. It was all in the garbage cans. And all we had to do was haul them off. So I thought, Pam was telling me stories about what she had learned there and just many ways that we can witness for Jesus Christ. Now, we read 2 Corinthians 3:16, and then we went 4 through 18, I think, or 16 last week. Mike, you made a remark in your email. There was something about those scriptures. In a minute, you don't usually get emotional too often, but I felt emotion in your memo. What was going on?
I'm trying to remember. Honestly, it was more your reading of that scripture. That scripture was phenomenal, but it was just your passion in reading it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess the idea that we should all try at least, and we can't always do this, but we should try at least to view what's the content of the scripture just like you were viewing it when you read it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of heartfelt sincerity.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Tracy?
In response to that, please don't take this negatively, guys, but I have to tell you, as I was standing in the back of the room while we were reciting the scripture this morning, I thought to myself, this is a drone. All voices were very drone and very monotone. And I'm not trying to be critical. It's like, do we realize what we're saying?
Amen.
Do we realize that as we're speaking this, that it needs to be spoken with passion, with what are we reading? And I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm telling you, it was just very something that hit my heart this morning listening.
Good. Very good. Now, I gave each of you, thank you for those comments. I just wanted to clarify it. The scriptures themselves, I've read them a dozen times this past week. They are overwhelming, those scriptures, that particular portion that we're looking at. I gave each of you last week, a two-page definition of glory. Jesus' glory, because that concept is so vital to enduring pain and suffering and persecution, okay? And we read it. It was overwhelming, and you've all got a copy, okay? I'm not going to read it again. I would love to. What time is it? 9:53, yeah. I would love to read it again because we've got to get that concept of the glory of God.
Right.
That's how we suffer with joy.
Amen.
When we understand the glory of God. So the three main points was the glory of God. It talks about the magnitude of his attributes. They're overwhelming when we think of the attributes of God. Okay? The second thing was supreme importance of the Lord. The supreme importance. He's everything. Nothing else matters in comparison. Okay? Even on one occasion. Not even your mom and not even your dad is more important than to glory in me. Okay, and then the third point was absolute splendor and beauty. Absolute splendor and beauty. We find in him, he is just absolutely magnificent. And this has a lot of typos in it, but read it. This is good. I've always struggled with a good definition of the glory of God, and I think this is an excellent one that may help you. Any comments on that? Okay. Yes.
Just real quick, talking about the glory of God, and you were talking about witnessing.
Yeah.
Sort of like in the last teaching series that was here in class, it's like I think when we share Christ with people, we need to start by helping them understand who they're dealing with, like the guy you were talking about.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with, you know, the guy that works at Rite Aid. We're dealing with the Almighty God.
Yes.
Going to judge.
That's right.
On this planet.
Yeah.
In his righteousness.
Yeah.
So that just needs to be attempted to be clarified.
Amen.
Before we start telling people about heaven and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Amen. Thank you. I also want to talk a little bit about in that scripture we read about the phrase jars of clay for a minute. Okay? Somebody read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 with a little enthusiasm. Okay, jars of clay. Go ahead. Somebody?
But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing powers belongs to God, not to us.
Amen. Jars of clay. Is you and I. Okay? The gospel has been transmitted to human instruments. Frail human bodies, as wonderful as they are very frail. And this treasure that God has given, his glory, the reflection of his glory, is in these jars of clay. So that the glory of God is preeminent. And not us.
Right.
He gets the glory all the time. He deliberately committed the gospel to frail bodies so that he would get all the glory. Do you understand? He gets all the glory.
Right.
And you get the joy.
Right.
You get the joy. And only when human instruments are broken and yielded to the Lord can the gospel shine forth through us in all his magnificence.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we are called jars of clay.
Yeah.
Huh? This is it, folks. And so in all of this suffering we're hearing, I'm really concerned. Christian Sam has not missed. So I've been coming here since November. I don't think he's missed 2 weeks in a row. Now, he might be on vacation. He's got colon cancer. I'm very close to that family. But I didn't call this week. I want you to call him. I want you to call him this week. Pray with him. He's got colon cancer, and he's got 3 kids under 5. Okay? These broken bodies God has taken and used us for his glory. So that's jars of clay. We now turn to the reason for suffering. The subtitle is The Glorious One Has Purpose for the Suffering One. Okay? We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 3. 16 through 4, 18. We're not going to do it verse by verse because we're doing a subject study, okay? But we're going to take pieces out of it. And if you look at your outline, you begin to see. But I'm really doing a little introduction before I get to the outline. Suffering is not meaningless to the Christian.
Right.
There is purpose in suffering. Okay? God is accomplishing this, not in spite of suffering, agony, and loss, but God is accomplishing great things through these things.
That's right.
Okay? When they happen, the glory of God is reflecting.
That's right.
And being shown. This is a great truth. This is a great truth. I wrote to myself this week, but I'm going to say it again. This will be the last time I'm going to say it. I am losing my sight. I can still drive, but I'm losing my sight. Okay? I am learning to suffer in joy. I am. And I'm starting to visualize, as who said the other night at our prayer meeting? Oh, you.
What did I say?
You better start. No, it was Nathan. I can't remember. You better start reading Fanny Crosby's hymns.
Oh, that was Nathan.
That was Nathan. Right. As you prepare for what's about to happen. So I'm there. Do you realize it is through the suffering of God that the suffering of humankind will eventually be overcome and undone? Okay? Suffering is at the very heart of the Christian faith. It is one of the main ways we become like him.
Right.
Wow. Okay? Makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means that suffering, despite its painfulness, is also filled with purpose and usefulness.
Amen.
Now, I want you to share for a moment one more story about suffering. 4 minutes to go. One more story about suffering in your life and how God used it for his glory. I need a testimony. You get 1 minute. Huh? Now, last week you guys were pretty open. Go ahead, Tammy.
Really briefly, just a minor form of suffering.
Yeah, minor even.
Just even minor. So just disagreement with my son about a particular issue of the last 9 months. One that's divisive and just broken about that. And he asked me, Mom, I don't want to talk about things we don't agree with anymore. So I've been praying these last 9 months, and the Lord put on my heart to find a moderate perspective in that issue to possibly share with him. So he was in town this week, and I was trusting the Lord for opportunity. I deliberately did not want to push anything on him, but I just wanted to share a perspective, like a moderate perspective. Anyway, I had an opportunity and I said, you know, could I have permission to come to this boundary? And he said, Mom, I never meant to censor you. And he shared his heart with me, and I was able to share my heart with him. And the Lord just, I trusted him for an opportunity. I was going to let it go if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't something I was supposed to do. The Lord brought it together and healed a piece of our relationship that I've been grieving over for 9 months.
Do you hear that?
Praise
God.
Isn't that wonderful? How about another one? Go ahead.
This past week it showed
me, a little louder.
This past week it showed me how sometimes suffering can cause you to question your own ability to make your way through life and to suggest to you that perhaps there's you need to rely on someone greater and to seek out those kind of conversations.
Amen. I love the way you can do that right in the ICU unit. That's really cool. All right, we got 1 minute. Just blow the horn. By the way, huh? I believe, well, then we'll start. I'll mark this off right here. I believe that the sharing part of the class, as we had this morning in prayer, and getting you guys, don't take me literally, but I believe in many ways that is the most important part of the class. I really do. I believe when we have an opportunity to do this, those are the things I'm going to remember a long time. And I'm learning more from Scripture, but I love the idea of sharing and caring. What do you think, Jewel? Jewel was in my class. Her and I, we know Thomas Jefferson. And Jewel... And Jill was in my Sunday school class for 10 years. Jill, do you agree?
Because of Barry.
No, don't say because of Barry.
You showed me another side of Scripture that I had never seen before. Knowing the Lord, how he works differently.
And she's going to be at my house tonight for our small group. Tell them how much good time we have in prayer.
Wonderful. We
oh, man.
Scripture, we pray for one another, and then we enjoy snacks together.
We're going to eat at least 2,000 calories each tonight. These women, I'm not kidding. If you're not in a small group, I kind of feel sorry for you. No offense. But we have a great time, don't we?
Absolutely.
There's about 15, 18 of us gathered.
Oh. Sometimes it's a big group we don't want.
Right. And I know we got to go. And every week we have a small group. Almost every week somebody cries. Somebody cries because they're suffering with joy.
There you go.
I'm serious. So let's stop right now. Lord, we thank you for this class. Boy, this is one wonderful class. This is heaven on earth right here. And in fact, Pastor Bob, I'm sorry, but I think we ought to just go home. No. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We're going to really worship him now. And I pray for your that the glory of Almighty God would shine forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week, guys.